B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have they told you, like, here's a date that you need to be ready by?
Not really. It keeps getting pushed back. I'll tell you, we thought we might get into our facility this week and get, you know, 2-3 guys skating, and then, you know, a couple hours later, some other guys can trickle in, you know, small groups, but that didn't happen. So we were originally told probably, you know, don't plan on playing until the end of the summer, and that hasn't changed. But when do we actually meet, you know, to get together as a team, start a training camp? It's all speculation now. It seems to be, the, you know, I don't even know. I would say maybe late June, early July, something like that. I always heard that they'd want to play by July and August. All this depends on, you know, the governor and the medical people, obviously. But that was kind of the original game plan. And I think we're not that far off it right now. But I guess we'll see how this, you know, the virus plays out, if the curve's flat and going down, all that, all the medical stuff. So that's kind of what I think. But again, I'm just like you guys, just kind of spitballing that.
Good interview today on Toucher and Rich with Bruce Cassidy. I feel like every interview that Bruce Cassidy does is a good interview. Of the four coaches in town, and I don't even really know Ron Renicki's personality all that well. None of us do. But of the coaches in this city, I'd say he just lets it fly, man. He says whatever he's thinking. That's always been sort of his MO. Whether it be at the podium after a game, he rips his players when he's not happy with them. He praises them when he is happy with them. I don't feel like he hides anything.
It's not a fake.
No, he's very authentic. Very authentic. I would agree with that, so.
Yeah, he and Brad Stevens both give good, honest interviews.
I would agree with that. Where is Brad Stevens, by the way?
He's standing outside the building waiting to get into practice. I won't let him in yet.
I reckon he's in Wellesley.
I think he was on a podcast the other day.
He's talking.
Calipari podcast. Mm-hmm. I saw him on TV last week on the local news. He did a Zoom.
My brother-in-law saw him.
He did?
Yep.
Talked to him?
Around. No.
Oh, he just saw him in passing.
Yeah.
Well, phone line's open. Phone line's open.
Phone lines are always open. Like, we have that invitation to go down whenever we want, too.
And we, you know, Brad Steven, Bruce Arena. Where's Bruce been?
Nowhere.
That's our other guy.
Packing his bag for Disney World. If the state of Florida gets their way, they want MLS down there pronto.
Any of our friends. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we're finding out in trying times like these, you find out who your real friends are.
Who your real friends are, exactly.
You know? And Bruce Cassidy, obviously a real friend of Toucher and Rich.
Yep.
That's all. But no, great interview this morning. And I think when Bruce Cassidy tells you all the things he told you today, and he was talking in a very positive tone about the chances of hockey coming back, and you take sort of his tone and what he said about all the different possibilities, you know, some of it's pretty set in stone in his mind, such as it'll be 20 to 24 teams. And after that opening round, we're going right back to 7-game series. He referenced that. So that seems like something that the NHL has settled on.
Yep.
In addition to that, so wait, let's stop there
for a second. Well, I shouldn't say, you shouldn't say the NHL has settled on, but that's what he seems to think would be the only reasonable scenario.
Well, it's like, what he's probably hearing. He doesn't make the call. He doesn't make the decision.
Don't mess with the best of 7-4 rounds.
So
leave
if it's 20,
alone.
I'll say this, though. If it is 20 teams, it's more equitable and more fair in my mind, because you're only making the bottom 2 seeds in each conference play a play-in right now. Does that make sense? You're truly a bubble team if you're the 7th or 8th seed, and you've now got to play 9 and 10. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Versus, hey, if you're 5, 6, 7, or 8, you all have to play. Like, the 5th seed sits there and says, well, I'm not, you know, I feel like I was firmly in the playoffs here. Why do I have to play my way in? And so if they go with 20, it will be more fair to the teams that were pretty much firmly in the playoffs. But I also know, as Tom Morgan pointed out yesterday, if you go to 24, you're welcoming in the Montreal Canadiens. You have a big, iconic team that the NHL obviously has maybe a little bit of favoritism for. You get that team into the mix. Hello. In addition to that, you're welcoming. I think the Rangers would qualify in that situation, or I think the Rangers would be in either way if they go to 20. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I think it is. But either way, you've got a chance to bring in more markets and more teams if you go to 24. It might be better for the league on television if 24 teams are in, but it would be more fair if they went with 20 and closer to what their normal format is. So Bruce Cassidy talked about that. Now take what Bruce Cassidy said, and in addition to that, Bill Daly said yesterday in response to the announcement that the U.S. and Canada will be shutting down their border for another 30 days, that he does not think that will be a hurdle for the NHL. I think he said he is hopeful. He's hopeful that's not going to be an issue for them. And I just don't think Bill Daly is someone who just throws that out there, considering how conservative he has been in his answers during this shutdown of the league.
Right.
He's been very conservative. He has consistently warned people not to get ahead of themselves. He has downplayed any progress. And so if he's saying that, I'm going to take his word. I'm going to take that as, okay, he knows what's up. He knows, and I'm not surprised to hear that. I'm not surprised that NHL players would get special permission and be considered essential business to get back to the U.S. and compete at either arenas in the U.S. or hub cities or whatever it is they decide to go with. Not surprised.
No, and it sounds like, you know, he's speaking, as you said, Beto, with like either some knowledge or some strong belief that things are heading in that direction.
Hope.
I'm with him though. I want it held to 16 teams, and I understand what you're saying about the you know the real bubble teams, and you know who would be, you know, allowed to play each other in those scenarios, but there's also the thought about, you know, what those teams are going to get. There's actual, you know, benefit to playing a few ramp-up games, because what are the other teams doing while those guys are doing their play-in games? Are they just still getting ready? Are they still just having scrimmages and inter-squad stuff while those other teams are playing their play-in games, the eight seeds and the bubble teams and the teams that are just outside? Doesn't that give them a bit of an unfair advantage by getting some competitive games in before the quote-unquote playoffs start?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because you get some real warm-ups, right?
Yeah.
You get sort of the – but you also are now forced to compete. So they're not just regular season games that don't impact you. It's not like you can just play for the sake of getting ready for the playoffs. You still have to compete at a very high level to win that short series.
And again
– and that takes something out of you for the next
one. It's like the old adage, unseen, unheard. I mean, the longer and longer this goes, and I said about it earlier, next week's Memorial Day. If you even wait another week after that till you sort of finalize and come up with a plan, then you fast forward it to a couple weeks. By the time August is rolling around, you're ready to get into this. I'm like, okay, let's go playoffs. I don't know. It's too long. It's like a mini season within a season. It's odd. It doesn't feel like the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's it. You're just doing it to make hockey play.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
We're all okay with it. But what's the reaction going to be?
The reaction is going to be, thank goodness that for the hockey fans that they got it back and they were able to play, and there's going to be a lot of second guessing in terms
hockey
of
hockey fans.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that. That's great for them. They're waiting on this. They need this.
Do you want them to play again?
I'm starting to not want them to play again.
So you don't want the NHL to come back until next season?
Sort of. The longer this takes, yes. That answer is yes to me. I've been like this for a month.
I don't know. I feel like this is a classic case of if you don't want to watch it, then don't watch it. If you're going to feel weird.
I don't want that to be for them. This is the freaking NHL playoffs.
Sitting and watching hockey in August, then don't watch it. There are plenty of people who are going to want to watch it. And they want to see somebody, especially the Bruins, if they can continue the run that they've had and pick up where they left off, go on a cup run. And whether you feel it's got an asterisk next to it at the very end and whoever is holding the cup is going to, you know, be saddled with it was during the COVID season. So be it. You know what? That's a problem I would love to have if it were my team that ended up winning it all. But if you don't want them to play just because you think it's weird to have hockey in August, that's going to be the least of your concerns in terms of weird things going on in sports here in the upcoming months.
All right, let's get to the action update. We'll get to the action update, and we will be back with more, including the latest on Major League Baseball. I heard Hardy mention Tom Glavin in headlines. He doesn't sound optimistic about where baseball's going. I'd like to hit on that, and we'll get to your calls next.
Zola, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
So I'm crushing the cameo game today, dude.
Oh, good. How many did you get today?
I'm caught up in some back and forth, so it's really good. The people just keep buying more of them. Love that. That's what you really got to get hooked into. Some sort of scheme. That's what it comes down to. Hardy, how you doing on there, bud? Any hot tub cameos yet?
No. That's not going to happen.
All right, real quick here.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing they've asked you to do?
I don't know. The whole thing in the back and forth is sort of weird, but I don't care. Keep paying, man. That's what I say. How about you? Other than Hardy, I mean, Hardy got asked to show his feet.
Right.
Which, by the way, in my introductory video, I'm all. If that's what you want, I'll give you the goods, man.
John Wayne.
You want to see feet? I'll show you feet. I mean, there's American currency involved here, Hardy. I don't know why you just didn't show the guy his feet. Your feet, I should say.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, there's a lot of things somewhere. Coming up. I mean,
ending up on some foot fetish site? Is that the problem?
No. I'm like, we never do, and I warned him about that. I said, don't do that.
Whatever floats your boat, man.
Strangest one I had to do was a John Wayne one. So I had to put the cowboy hat on with the vest like, hey, everybody, what's going on? You got the big graduation coming up. We didn't graduate back in the day when I was a cowboy. Yeah, we just tied our horse to the watering hole. So, we do have a lot of graduations coming up. You got birthdays, you got anniversaries, people are missing weddings. What better way for me to say, hey, get your head out of your ass. We're going to get out at some point, and we're going to party like never before. Zol will do that for you on a cameo. There you go. Load them up. I did 8 during the last break.
You did 8 in one break?
8 since the start of show.
Well, I'm glad you're using our commercial breaks to prep for the next segment. That's good.
Oh, and you prep for the next segment?
I do some prep, sure.
I see him walking around there. I see when we're coming back on air and you stroll back into the studio.
I'm talking with
our
producers.
With a little stripe. Oh, yeah. We're back here breaking a ball.
Jim, Tom, are we not prepping for each segment? Jim and Tom.
You walk in there. Tom just stares forward and goes,
yeah. Lanny and T-Bone back there. That's all we're doing. Prep. Getting ready for that first seating at 6 p.m.
I tell you what, I got a lot of good responses on the making your own ketchup. People said it's much better than you anticipate, and you could tweak the recipe the way you like it, because I'm more of a Heinz 57 guy.
What did Tom Glavin say, Hardy, that you mentioned in headlines a short time ago?
He was speaking about just if there is no baseball, and his quote was, if it were to come down to an economic issue, and that's the reason baseball didn't come back. You're looking at a situation similar to the strike of 94 and 95 as far as fans are concerned. Even if players were 100% justified in what they were complaining about, they're still going to look bad.
He's right, and he speaks from a place of experience because he was a union rep and one of the high-ranking union reps back in 94 when the players went on strike. So he knows what he's talking about. He knows what it's like to take the PR hit,
yep,
as they did big time back in 94. I'm curious to know, though, if he thinks that this is similar. Because I know that he said that it was a unique situation, I think he said.
Yes. He said, I understand about the, you know, with regard to the virus. Is that that's a big part for all of us in getting back to our normal is to have sports back, but you can't dismiss a player's concern for his health or his family's health any more than you would dismiss your own concerns. If I was playing today, I wouldn't say, hell no, I'm not playing. But of course, I'd have a concern that once you step out that door and you go back into that world, there's a chance you're bringing something home to your family. It's 100% fair for players, coaches, everybody to be concerned about that.
Which, again, you know, he doesn't exactly separate the two the way that Blake Snell didn't separate the two. You either have a fight as a union for workplace safety, or you're fighting because you feel you are unfairly compensated. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If something is unsafe and you say, this is unsafe, the argument is not, pay me more and I'll do unsafe things. The argument should be, you need to make this safer for us.
Yeah, it's not about the money.
And if you feel you are unfairly paid and not compensated enough for the job that you are asked to do, which is play baseball, then you make the case that we are not paid enough and you need to pay us more. We're not getting a fair cut. Those are two very different things. And that's my argument back to Blake Snell, which is, that's fine. If you feel it's unsafe and baseball hasn't done enough, then make the argument that they're going to make it safer or you're not playing.
Right. It's like that Amazon and Walmart workers where they're complaining, like, hey, we're working our asses off here. They haven't done enough to protect us. Plus, we're not getting paid enough for the risk that we are putting our families and our lives at.
Yeah. If it's truly
okay, but that's different. Like, this is baseball. This isn't working, you know,
it's still work environment
in a hospital,
protecting.
Which, I mean, by the way, those are the people that do deserve more compensation right now than what they normally would make. Those are high-risk jobs where the risks can't be eliminated, right? There are just some jobs where, hey, you're a nurse in a hospital, you're a doctor in a hospital, or any other profession right now, whether it's, again, working in a store that's providing groceries or you're making essential deliveries, where you're saying, hey, I can't eliminate the risk for you, and we're asking you to do something that's not normal, and we're going to pay you more for that as a way for you to continue doing it. But we're talking about something that is not essential, okay? Baseball is not essential to everyday life, so I hate those comparisons. Like, no, you shouldn't be comparing a nurse to a baseball player. That's stupid. And, by the way, the nurses are doing far more important stuff than any of these jackass video-playing baseball players are doing. That's obvious, too, which is why they're never going to win the PR battle, and that's good advice from Glavin. That, as he said, he gave media interviews back in 94, and he said, that was a mistake. I gave people access trying to explain our side and why we felt the way we did, and it just made it worse.
Right.
They were never going to side with the players. Very few people are going to side with the players this time. But what's their plan, the players, right now?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to keep going back to this point. I'm going to sound like a brokered record on this point. What's their plan? What would they like to suggest right now?
And they have to suggest something, because this mixed message of, I got to get my money, I'm risking my life out there, you're 100% accurate, Beetle. It is, okay, paying you more money isn't going to lower the risk. So which is it? Do you want to get paid or do you want less? You know, what is your chief concern? If it's about the risk, how about this? Your money stays the same as we have proposed, where you've already taken a cut for fewer games and you need to take a bigger cut because there are no fans, but we're going to do this, this, and this to make it that much safer for you to play, okay? And if they still say no, then say, oh, well, then it's not about the risk, it's about the money. You know, which is it? Because one, I understand that, you know, people are going to get paid a certain amount for taking on certain activities, and you can, but some people are more than willing to put a price on the risk associated. But from a pure public health debate here, no, that those two don't necessarily jive. So they need to get their message across. What is it that you want? Do you want your money or do you want safety? And that, because we can talk about both. It's a negotiation. This is what the original agreement said. Renegotiate. but figure out, and if you want both, if you want it to be safer and you're going to want more money, well, then we might be, you know, getting closer and closer to an impasse.
Right, because if they went to Blake Snell and they said, Blake, we're, in theory, I don't, this is not realistic because it's not going to happen, but if they said, Blake, we're going to test everybody, everyone's going to get an antibody test coming in, and then we're going to test everybody twice a day, once in the morning, once at night. Every player is going to have this ridiculous amount of testing that will be going on, and so if anyone contracts it, we will know immediately, because you're going to get two tests a day. We're going to do our best to minimize their outside contact. We're taking a million different precautions, and we think it's going to be a pretty safe environment to be playing baseball. What's he say then? Oh, okay, great. But I still want mine. Well, wait a minute. Was it about the safety or was it about the money, Blake?
Right. By the way, yeah. My favorite part of the Glavin article,
yes,
is the last part where they said, wow, you must, you know, baseball guy, he must really be missing baseball. And he said, I probably miss NHL playoffs more than baseball.
Oh, Glavin's a huge hockey fan.
At least at this time of year, it's part of the routine. Nice to know that, you know, what you do all day, then you eat dinner and sit down, you got a game. Yeah. Not having games to watch has been hard, but, you know, we'll get through it.
He was drafted by the Kings in the NHL draft.
Glavin I didn't know.
Yeah.
That. Wow.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah,
huge.
Bill Ricka.
Bill Ricka guy, yeah. Huge hockey fan. I think he talked about that pretty frequently when he was a player, too. So
I was in a party with him and Bill Ricka in someone's basement.
You've told us that before.
And that guy's standing over there, and everybody's talking to him. I'm like, who the hell's that guy over there? I'm like, dude, it's freaking Glavin. I'm like, what? Yeah, he's from Bill Ricka. I go, oh, Townie. It's great. He's at a Townie party. Like 10 couches in a basement, the Kager. It's pretty good.
We'll get to headlines right now. We'll get right back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985. Keith in Tampa. What's up, Keith? You spotted Tom Brady down there yet?
I have. I spotted him in the pictures last night from the Tampa Bay Times. You know, as a transplanted Rhode Islander and lifetime Patriots fan, I got to tell you, I was listening to NBC Sports Boston last night, and I agree with Tom Curran. People shouldn't be getting upset because they see TB12 down here in these OTAs. The reason why I say that is because we should be grateful that for the 20 years
it's he not was an here, OTA. It's not an organized team activity.
Well, involuntary. Okay, involuntary.
Yeah, which he does all the time.
Championships out of nine, and I just feel as though that, you know, he's given this franchise more than we could ever dream. I mean, I remember back in the 70s and 80s when the Patriots were the Tampa Bay. I call them Buck Teeth. They were the Buck Teeth back then. And so, you know, I'm going to tell my friends down here, you need to cherish what you have because this guy is a national treasure. He's done everything he could for the NFL. And I just think people should just get off his back.
What's the buzz like down there?
Keith, can't we do both? Can't we say how amazing the 20 years was and how amazing he was and how much he means to us as sports fans in New England and how important he is to everything that's gone on with the Patriots organization?
Sure he could.
And then also say, gee, Tom, where the hell were you the last few springs?
Like I was telling my family members last night in the text, with what the guy's done for the franchise in the 20 years he's been there, at least 18 out of 20, I think that he's earned the right to be able to dictate whether or not he wants to do involuntary workouts.
Yeah, I mean, no one's forcing him.
He's
to
always
do these
worked
things.
Out to get himself in shape. He's done all these little throwing sessions. He finds high school kids. He's done it at BC. He's done it with Edelman.
I tend to think
he's
that
done
he's,
it with Josh Gordon. He's done it with N'Keal Harry. He brings them to his house.
Wait
he's
a second. So wait
What's
a second. You're saying he's done this. He showed up and he's called everybody up and gotten together with all the guys on the team he's never thrown
some
to
random
before.
Facility? Sure, he did it at BC. Yeah, and he did it at UCLA.
Did he do it last year with Jacoby Myers? And he did it last year with Nikhil Harry.
Jacoby Myers. Myers wasn't even a draft pick.
Did he do it with Nikhil Harry last year?
Yeah, and he put on Instagram at his house.
After he was publicly criticized for not doing it with Nikhil Harry, he gave in and invited Nikhil Harry over to the house.
He was already at the house. Yeah, he was already. He was already.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. No, he wasn't. The criticism had gone on for weeks about where was he in Jacoby Myers being a first round draft pick, and then he showed up at his house, and they made sure to make it public and put the pictures online. That was a response to the criticism, is what that was. I mean, listen, I don't know everything Tom Brady's done in his two decades that he was here. I just don't recall a very public get-together with everybody that's available on the team. And I know it's different times right now. I know things are a little unusual where he got together with everybody on the team to go have the throwing sessions.
But where's Godwin? Why wasn't Godwin there?
I don't know if he's in the area. I mean, but
he wasn't.
It doesn't appear that anyone was excluded during this.
Yeah, so let's not blow this up to where this is an OTA here, okay? A lot of people are calling them OTAs. It's not an OTA.
Do you think he's going to be at OTAs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So we'll handle that when it comes.
I mean, are you trying to make the case that he is doing all the stuff he did for this last couple of years with the Patriots now in Tampa, or do you concede that maybe he's doing a little bit more down there than he did his last couple of years with the Pats?
I would term it as he's in a brand new spot and he needs to start over down there and he needs to do this. Where
yes.
It's
okay.
The same
okay.
thing here 20
he's,
years.
He's doing more down there than he did here.
Yeah, for now.
Yes.
Until he feels comfortable.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm sure there are a couple of guys on the team who would have liked to have felt more comfortable with Tom last year, but he wasn't doing it. And he wasn't inviting everyone over to the house, and he wasn't showing up for OTAs, but now he's doing it. And if you know, like the last caller or you or anyone else wants, you know what? Just be thankful for your time. Everything is okay. Just, you know, let him do this now, and he's earned the right. Of course, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I have to say that the two are equal, because they're not. He's off with his new family now, and he's taking those kids to the amusement park and to Canopy Lake.
Carol Haskins.
The other kids that you just left here, like, no, screw that. We did that. We've already done that in our lives. Now he's off with new mommy and the new family, and he's doing stuff with those kids that he just got bored with you and he doesn't want to do it anymore. That's how it feels for Patriots fans looking at this, what he's doing down in Tampa, as opposed to what he did the last 2 years in New England. That's why they feel this way.
Nick in New Bedford on the Chung contract extension. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey.
I just wanted to talk on it because you guys were talking about, you know, things that you had wanted to purchase if you had that $3 million. And it makes me think of Bobby Bonilla, the baseball player who every July 1st gets $1.2 million to just sit at home and do nothing for his contract through 2035, I think. So imagine just sitting at home and getting a check for $1.2 million every year and then figuring out what you're going to blow that on.
Yeah, it's $1.19 million every year that he gets on July 1st. You're right. You were right. 2035 is the year.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about wild, outlandish purchases, you can buy a fully operational tank minus the main gun for less than like $300,000, and you can park that right out in front of your house and homeowners association lose their mind.
Okay. What are you buying, a tank?
I don't know. And
oh God,
Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, it's Bobby Bonilla.
Oh,
but anyway, you know why they did that, right? Why the Mets did that? Hardy, do you know the backstory on that?
With the tank?
No, with the money to Bobby Bonilla.
I thought it was Bonilla. The caller says it's Bonilla. I'm not sure who's pronouncing it right.
They wanted to free up as much cash as they could at the time to be able to invest more with Bernie Madoff because they had done the calculations on the money that they could take from paying Bonilla to paying Madoff, and they thought they were going to make I can look it up, but it was something absurd. Like, we were going to take that money, and it was going to be worth 100 times that by the end. So the $30 million we'd pay Bonilla between 2011 and 2035 will be pocket change. Yes, that was why they had done that. They wanted to free up some more money for Bernie.
Yeah,
to pay
well,
Bernie.
And ironically, I think Bernie Madoff did buy a few tanks, diamond-encrusted Cartier tanks that he just parked outside of his one of his 19 homes. Oh, my God.
Dylan's in the car. Dylan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yes. I wanted to talk about Patrick Chung's contract, and I think we're really going to see him earn it this year because – we don't have anyone else who can face up against the tight end, and we are facing a murderer's row this year. In between Kittle, in between Kelsey, and then you got the up-and-comers like Hunter Henry, that kid Waller out of Oakland or Vegas.
I mean, Dylan. Dylan.
Yes.
Chung was on the team already. He wasn't a free agent.
Yeah, but I think that you might want him to coach up. Who's that new kid that we drafted? This
Duggar.
The safety linebacker.
Duggar. Duggar's his name, and your point doesn't make any sense. It was the same point Zoe made earlier. Oh, that shows you they're loading up on defense. What do you mean? He was already on the team. He had time left on his contract. He was going to play for the 2020 Patriots. He could have coached up Kyle Duggar on the 2020 Patriots because he was on the team and under contract. It has nothing to do with this season. Nothing.
I wouldn't worry about the tight ends anyway. They're running the 6-2 stack monster this year.
No, they're not. It's defense, Tommy.
6-2 stack monster.
That's defense.
That's how they're going to face opposing tight ends. With the 6-2 stack monster.
Who's going to block the 9 technique on the outside? The
don't
big
worry
end.
About that. They're lifting the entire
amp. Are you going to bring the Z over in motion? He's going to cross formation.
Like
he's going to block the big guy?
I feel like I'm too angry. I need to reset. I need to learn about Zoe going to Lowe's yesterday. That's going to make me laugh.
The 6-2 right. stack monster has never been tried. It's tried once, but Ampite.
Ampite
tried it against
Walnut. Do you want to hear the ending to the Lowe's story or not?
Hey, and
not
I got
only
busted.
That, but my
I
neighbors.
I got busted in Lowe's. I got in trouble in Lowe's for something.
Oh, this is great. Yes. My neighbors desperately want to hear it. There was a socially distanced driveway discussion about Zoe's trip to Lowe's yesterday. So, yes, I know
there's picnic tables there, too.
Anecdotally, I know there are members of the audience who want to hear what happened.
Okay. All right. That's next.
It makes me think of Bobby Bonilla.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Your calls in a few minutes. Zoe, as we know, was off to Lowe's yesterday afternoon. He was going to be picking up a new washing machine, going to get the laundry room fixed and
yep.
back up and running. So how did that turn out yesterday, Zoe?
A fantastic experience with the washing machine. My man Steve down there in the appliances. I went around the back, met all the boys back there in the lumber yard. Everybody there listens to our show, have 98.5 The Sports Hub on all day. From open to close, Lowe's was absolutely packed. Good for them, doing great business. All the plants are out, so if you're doing a lot of planting, gardening, get there. A lot of great sales on lawnmowers. Checked out the John Deere's. So while I was waiting.
They got any vintage 91s there, or is it just all new stuff?
What's that?
I said, do they have any
vintage? You had mentioned earlier in the week that you had one of the original John Deere's from 1991.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we want to know from that first year they were in operation.
Yeah.
Do they have any, or is this just brand new stuff?
It's the new stuff.
Brand new. Okay.
A little plasticky in that, but the prices came down on them and they're very affordable. I like them. I say, hey, I'd buy one of those suckers right now.
All right. So
you're walking around. You know what they have now, too? Really nice smoker pits. really nice ones. Normally, they would always just have all the grills lined up. I got my Weber grill there, too. I buy everything from Lowe's.
Well, smoking's becoming a big thing again.
You know, I'm talking about the long black tube with the smokestack on one end.
Yeah,
I'm opening this sucker
I've seen
up.
Them there.
I'm like, how many ribs does this take? I said about eight or six slabs. Well, that's great.
Or six. Is that how we phrased it?
Eight or six? Slabs. Six or eight slabs. I'm like, you put a chicken in here? He said, not a live one. He goes, yeah. You know, I'm like, duh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what else you got to buy for us? He goes, well, you got to get the wood chips. You know, you got to get the fire starters and all. He goes, you don't smoke it on high heat. It's all about the smoke.
Didn't you tell us earlier you use the keg barrel smoker?
I use the keg barrel. It's completely different. So I have to start my fire with one of those little chimneas in the bottom, and then gets all the hot rocks going. I soak my applewood chips in a bucket. Because the wood has to be absorbed with water, because when you put it down on the coals, you want it to smoke.
Sure.
So wet wood smokes. So we're sitting there, and my wife goes, you know what? Look at that over there. Look at these nice outdoor displays they have of tables and chairs. So we're looking around. Wow, this one's nice. Then we see one in the back. It's got that nice woven stuff like you have, Beetle, on your back porch.
Yeah, I've got that. What do they call that? Rattan? Is that what
and
that
said,
is?
Ooh,
Wicca?
Yeah, I said, look at that one.
What's the sticker on the wicker?
I said, oh, I'm a big guy. I said, those other ones over there, it's like, you know, thin. They put like little people came. Like, hey, you got to hit serious.
Oh, it's not rattan. What am I thinking of? But anyway, go on.
Yeah. So the little people ones are down there, so their feet could touch the ground. I said, give me this big one. So I said, we're going to go test this out. So we both sit down, push back, and I'm like, oh, I like this one. This guy comes running over with a Lowe's red vest on and a mask. Hey, you can't sit down there. I'm like, what do you mean I can't say? I'm testing these out. He said, COVID-19. So, boom, I popped right up. I'm like, I totally forgot. But they have the displays out.
You can't try out the outdoor furniture because of the... Interesting. I wouldn't know these things because I don't go out. So, this is news to me.
I go out all the time. So,
I know.
So, my question to him was, like, me being a big guy, how would I know that I would want to partake of the purchase, this exchange of money?
That's a great point.
If I can't sit down, you know, Beto, I like to sit down.
Is it comfortable? It's a simple question. Is this a comfortable chair to buy?
I was in it for 4 seconds.
If you're buying a chair, that's the first thing you want to know. Is it comfortable? Yeah. Does it feel nice to sit in?
If you gave me a limit of 4 seconds to any chair I could sit in, I sat in this chair, I probably would.
So I bought this the chair I'm sitting in right now. It's just like your typical, here, I'll show it to you. It's just like your typical leather office chair.
Yeah.
Right?
It's sight unseen.
Oh, it sucks.
You spent a lot of money on that.
It was like $95, I think. It was a little under $100.
Oh, I thought you bought one of the $300
No.
All right.
I got on sale.
Got it.
You know, I went to the big office supply store. I won't name the chain.
No.
But, yeah, it's nice. I wish I'd been able to go in the store and try it out.
It looks like a pilot seat.
Because of these times...
You should put
that's a little creaky.
You should put some straps on that thing, like, hey man, I'm in a pilot.
Put some a couple of shoulder seat belts, a 5-point harness, and a little wings on your shirt. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Barometric pressure. How we get over here? We put a couple clicks above you.
Yeah.
So then we said, okay, we got up. We didn't do that, but then, boy, they had a nice stack of cushions on one entire wall. I'm talking square cushions, round cushions. So if you have deteriorated cushions outside, the place to go is Lowe's. They have awesome blue and white striped ones, very Nantuckety looking. You could go there
cushions.
And really jazz up your
so you're so you didn't get the chair, but did you buy the cushions?
No. And outdoor thistle carpets.
Okay. Nice. What I would like to know is how did the exchange of washers go? You brought the broken down washer.
I brought the washer in, and I flipped up the back.
Now,
so point of
procedure, Your Honor. You said yesterday you're the only one who leaves the house. Was your wife with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she's going out, too.
Wanted to go for the ride because she was worried about me getting the washer, and it wasn't going to match the dryer, which it does not at this time.
It's already bought. There's nothing you can do about it now.
Well, you know how to solve that problem, though. If it didn't match, you just buy a new dryer.
Right.
I said, honey, we weren't doing wash for like 3 weeks, but my man Steve here hooked it up, okay?
Yeah. He sold me the last one out back.
And like, I'm driving out back, and I see all kind of washer stacked back. Like, what the hell's going on? So I keep driving. And he goes, oh, wait. Then the wood guys are back here. And they're like, hey, what are you doing here? My man. I'm like, I'm here to pick
Tony
up
Eason. No, oh my no, God, no. I loved you. On, I loved you right up until that Super Bowl against Chicago.
I told Steve. I told Steve the story because that guy works out in the outdoor section because you know he's in the big outdoor section. And he goes, I know exactly who it is. He goes, he's a moron.
Okay, so you brought the old washer.
Brought the old washer to the around the back of the store. So Steve told me, like, you got to return it over there, and I'm going to have your washer, your new washer, waiting for you. So I go all the way around the back, and wood guys are back here lifting lumber, and I said, hey, I look like I'm in the wrong place. So they said, hey, Enzo, come on out. Yeah, then we're talking, start talking football. And they're like, you're in the wrong place. I go, well, he told me to come to the lumber yard. He goes, no. You need to go to the front where the big overhang is where the lumber people check out. So I went all the way around.
The pro side.
And my man Steve was standing there with two other guys, and that sucker's on a dolly. Well, we both pull my old washer out. I put it on the ground. The one guy with the dolly takes my washer, pushes it away, no questions asked. And we proceed to lift the box up, and it doesn't fit in the back of Zoe's Tahoe.
Oh,
like, well, wait a minute. So we got a problem here. I said,
did you take it out of the box?
Now, and I just said, if I may interrupt for just a second, you said no questions asked. What questions were you anticipating before they would take the old washer away?
Great point, Hardy. Great point by you.
I wasn't going to listen to any. I just turned and walked away.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to hear any questions like, hey, did you drain this or how long it's been? I didn't want to talk about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we can't get that thing in. And I'm thinking, okay, I got a great idea. I got this problem at home. When I strip out all the coverings of it and all this stupid styrofoam you have around it, I burn all that stuff anyway at home in my fire pit.
Did you burn
the styrofoam?
Oh, jeez.
Not yesterday because I said I didn't
want to
do that.
Don't breathe that in, Zo.
Somebody told me that
was black smoke.
What if I take the razor blade, cut it open, we unpack this thing right now, and we turn it sideways and slide it right in? He goes, brilliant idea. And I had two beach blankets.
They needed you to come up with that plan?
They did.
Then they're hopeless.
Because, I mean, they got it in, and then I got one. He's about 5'8", and, you know, sort of Sousa-like, you know what I'm saying? And he's ramming it with his shoulder, like, getting in. I'm like, stop. Okay, it's not going to fit. It's not going to fit. You can just see. It's like 3 inches off. I said, why don't we strip it down? You leave all the garbage here. Would you take the garbage? He said, yes, sir. No, sir. Not a problem. I said, that's great. So we strip it down.
Were there any questions?
Off. Slid that sucker in, pack it up, boom.
No
home.
Questions asked.
Two loads done last night, like that. Easy hookup. Awesome. Lowe's is great.
Thank God you were there to suggest taking it out of the box so Thank that you. It would fit in the truck, because guys who work on a loading dock would never have come up with that on their own.
Yeah.
They were gonna fit it
in. Did you tip? Did you tip them?
Oh, no. I didn't have any cash on me.
Shocking.
They're doing their job. What do you?
I just love that we're in your head about the tipping now.
Okay. Wait, now you're messing with me. Are you really supposed to tip with them?
I would have tipped the guy that loaded my washer and took the old washer away, no questions asked,
and
took away the box and styrofoam, no questions asked.
What if I lift it?
I tip him just for not asking any questions, because you start asking questions about a washer transaction. That could throw a...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.